Good evening, everyone, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics. I'm Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And it is Tuesday, July 14th, and we're talking about Wednesday, the 15th of July, and the comical books that are going to be appearing in your local stores, such as Coast City Comics, who we are actually talking about. The only reason we do this is because I have a comic shop, and that's the one that you should go to. CoastCityComics.com. Go to that.
Correct.
Thing. I keep forgetting that I'm a capitalist and I need to make money in order for my store to survive. I'm very bad at capitalism. So I will
and
do
yet,
that.
And yet that thing that makes you bad at capitalism also makes you the best comic book store.
That is the
it's a weird catch-22.
That is the horrible part of the whole thing. all right, let's talk about the most important book of the week, obviously. That is, I am of course referring to Murder Hobo, Beaten, Broken, and Buggered number one by our good pal Joe Schmalke. This is
nice.
This is an amazing little piece of nonsense. Also, the artist is Jason Lynch, who I want to give some compliments to. He's a sort of, he falls into that. What's the name of the? Oh my God, I was gonna say Orkstein, but it's not Orkstein. Headlopper. He's got a little bit
of Andrew McLean.
He's got a bit of Andrew McLean going on. But it's his own version of that. It's a fun, crazy, otherworldly, filthy, lots of buttholes, lots of decapitating, lots of, all the things that of course Joe Schmalke wants to do. If any of these words sound appealing to you, you're probably going to love this. If you like your D&D filthy and filthy vulgar and with lots of murder, you're going to love this. So check it out.
This is a great looking book.
We have plenty of copies and it is great. Okay. Enough about our local heroes. let's talk about, oh God, I forget how many bad comics there are.
never forget.
It's hard to.
You're literally surrounded by them. How can you?
I know it's very strange, but on a completely separate note from Terrible Comics, there's a new Betty Page series out, and Dynamite is doing it. It is Betty Page number one, but it is from the artist who did Army of Darkness, Bubba Hotep, which I thought the art for that was phenomenal. So. Just for that, I think it is probably worth checking out. I haven't even looked through it, but I did love the Army of Darkness Bubba Hotep crossover. Let's see. What's another one? Star Trek Deep Space Nine. There's a new series coming out through IDW. Finally, after a bajillion years, Space Riders Vortex of Darkness number two is out. That has been a long time coming.
I haven't read anything
for obvious
yet,
reasons, but yeah. His stuff is just always the best.
I love it. There's no story points
to this that really need to be told. I always thought it was funny that there was a writer on this book. It's like, come on, we're here for every page looking like an amazing, blacklight poster from the 60s. I don't even need a story.
On that level, when you get this kind of color palette, this like neon kind of like color palette that's kind of in vogue a lot these days, which I'm super in favor of. One thing is like it always favors pink. Mm-hmm. And while there is some pink in this, like he's real, like the colorists. No, it's Alexis Zirit, I guess, is all the art. So
yes,
I love that there's like a ton of yellow, a ton of blue. It's like it's really just primary soup, and it's awesome. I'm flipping through it literally right now. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. It looks fantastic. I love this. I was so excited to see that this was finally back on the stands again.
Yeah. Sacred Six number one. This is kind of interesting. Not something that I would normally dwell on, but this is a spin-off of Vampirella, but it is being written by Christopher Priest. And it's also got a bunch of Jay Lee art in it, which is really surprising. I'm kind of interested in this thing. I mean, it's obviously going to be over-the-top nonsense like it always is in Vampirella, but I mean, this is a pretty impressive team doing this. And if you even recognize any of these names, then you're probably going to want to buy it, because I literally was like, who the hell is Draculina? But there's apparently Draculina, Pantha, Nyx, and Chastity. Don't know who any of those are. And it's sort of a super group of Dynamite's Vampirella characters. So
I, when I was flipping through, I picked it up and looked through it, and it is certainly a high quality book in terms of, like, you know, creative team, and it's not really my cup of forte, but I think it looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, the first page is definitely sex with a skinless corpse, so, you know, if that's your thing, we got you covered.
Or if you can look past that, you know, I would say, like, I did flip through the whole thing, and really the skinless corpse sex was just that one first page.
No, it definitely was not.
I was saying to you, you know, maybe the Dynamite is like, okay, like, you can do whatever you want, but you have to have at least one page of fucking, just good old fashioned fucking.
I'm sure. I would be shocked if that wasn't a note that he was given. Or, you know, what? He might be the kind of writer that doesn't need that note. He just
knows
in there anyway. He just knows that's what he's got to get in there. Speaking of things that people got to get in there, Transformers 84. I have no fucking idea what that transition was.
that was quite the segue. Speaking of fucking,
Transformers has a comic out. So Transformers 84. This is pretty fun. I'm pretty happy about this. This is Simon Furman, who is a well-loved writer for Transformers. He's coming back, and it's going to be basically spinning out of the original Transformers stuff from the 80s. And
he wrote the Marvel stuff, right?
Yeah, he wrote not all of it, but a lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. He might have been the writer for the whole thing. But yes, so that's pretty cool. And it's the new art for Transformers being combined with the old art. It always blows my mind seeing these people, like, Corinne, when she used to do stuff. My God, the art was just so complicated, but also emotive, and like, it's so architectural, because you have to make these machines look like people at the same time. And it just always really impressed me. And I like seeing the classic designs, and this is going back to the old 80s stuff. So that's fun.
Nice.
Yeah,
it looks cool.
So here's one, Snake Eyes Dead Game #1. Here is Rob Liefeld doing art and story on a Snake Eyes thing. It's not bad. I did give it a look through. Snake Eyes is a character that lends himself well to being drawn by Rob Liefeld, is something I'll definitely say. Is that, like, looking at his version of Snake Eyes, I was like, that's cool. That's pretty much like right in his wheelhouse. It suffers from a lot of the criticisms that people have of Liefeld. You know, the poses are very similar. There's so much, like, he's doing Liefeld poses in probably 50% of the pages. They're just those, like, stock, crouched in the air, you know, arms together, all the, like, the very specific Liefeld poses. But even at that, it's fun, and I think people are going to dig it. And I know that Liefeld has a lot of fans, so I think for those people, they're going to be stoked on it. You know,
I've been very, very surprised by the just resurgence of, you know, like, when Liefeld comes up, it used to just be like, oh my God, Liefeld. Like, I mean, obviously, like, when he was super popular, everybody, you know, either loved it or, you know, didn't talk about it, and then it was like everyone hated them forever, and now it's like, it's like a debate, you know, like it's like people
it is
will,
it's interesting.
It is interesting, and you know, it's someone's cup of tea,
and that's
and that's cool.
It is weird. I always I don't know if I was like playing devil's advocate on Rob Liefeld to all the people, because the overwhelming majority of people who would come into the store, if you say Rob Liefeld, it's basically like they're laughing at it. And I definitely fall on the other side of that, because although I see what their point is, that he definitely relies on very similar poses. He's got a thing going, you know, the foot thing, blah, blah, blah. But he's an innovator. He is somebody who came in at a time and did a thing that he was the first person there, and people latched onto his style. And things came out of his style, and you got to give him credit for being there first. I think that's one of the things. You can also give him credit for ruining art in the 90s too, but you know what?
At the end of the day, like I definitely like laugh at some of the notorious examples of like whatever, but you know, the only thing I ever really didn't like about Rob Liefeld was when he called himself the king. It just really bothered me.
Yeah,
like that, you're not the king. Like no. you don't get to call you. No. You don't get to decide that you get Jack Kirby's nickname. You just don't get that.
No.
Like
no.
Other than that, hubris. Like he can have his jeans commercials, and it's like he's successful. People love it. Whatever. You know.
Exactly.
I think it's funny when people's pectoral muscles are bigger than their entire body. But you know, whatever.
And that's another one. And this is a long drawn out conversation we don't need to have, but like,
exactly.
But it does get into that whole, like, I know that Sam Keith is an Omega level artist. And so is so far out of this conversation that it's difficult to bring him up. But when Sam Keith draws Wolverine as a ball and his muscles are the same size as his head, people go, that's fucking cool. I love that he did that. And when Liefeld goes into stylized and they're like, look, his feet are small. Yeah, he's stylized. It's a fucking comic. You know, like,
yeah. You either like the style or you don't.
And that's the thing, is that I feel like everybody wants to go into like, oh, you know, that his head is not big enough or whatever. And it's like, yes, that is called cartooning. It's like, it's what is done in these things. But that is a whole other story. If you want this week, if you are excited about getting a comic book that features full penetrative anal sex on the cover, you're going to want Faithless number 2.
What?
Yes. In order to, when you bag and board them, you got to cut them out of the bags and put them into the thing. And oh, this is even better. So I was actually bagging it and I was like, whoa.
Comes in a hidden bag.
It comes in a hidden bag, so you don't want to bag it with the poly bag or it'll wrinkle the cover. And so I cut them out to put them in bags and boards. And I did that and looked at this amazing cover. But also the funniest part of it is that if you flip the thing over, they actually bag them backwards. So the blank back cover is covered with the pink cover, and then you flip it over and it's like, oh nope, there's the full penetrative sex. Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy. What is Faithless?
Faithless is that Paul Popey thing. It was like he was involved in it originally, but it's Brian Azzarello. The current artist is Maria Lovett, Lovett. But yeah, it's basically like it's an erotic horror comic. It's
okay.
Not very good anymore. I was like kind of following it in the first arc, and I was like, okay, I can kind of see what you're doing, and it just lost me. But you know what didn't lose me? Ludocrats.
Woo! Oh man, I haven't read it yet. And this is the thing I was telling you, like, for some reason, like, I've bought every issue of this and I haven't read any of them yet, but they just look so great.
They are. It is so your comic too. It's like, this is perfect for you. And speaking of uber stylized cartooning, this is I love this. It's a very fun art style. It lends itself to both like the overkill violent stuff that they're doing and the ridiculous cartoony jokey stuff. It's just a fun comic book.
Yeah, the inside. Sorry to cut you off, but please. The inside cover of this says just this sentence: Steam Judge knows what badness the Hyper Pope is up to. Will she talk? Let's find out.
Yeah, no, it is very fun. Yeah, you should check it out. And here's one of my weird, like, this is a probably very specific to me, but this is maybe even my book of the week, even though, like, we got so few copies of it because I knew nobody else was going to give a shit. So this is just going to be one of these, like, it's about me, but 2020, I, Wolverine number one, thought it was awesome.
Fuck, I almost looked at it and then I didn't because I thought it was a tie into that 2020 Iron Man.
That's what's so funny is that, like, they basically were like, eh, just kidding, not really. And the whole thing is like, it basically starts out, it's Albert, the Wolverine clone from the original Wolverine series, and LCD, the little girl who explodes when she gets near Albert. So it's a story about her. She has been taken by some group in Madripoor and disassembled, and like her head is doing bookkeeping for a mobster, and her arms and legs are like being servants at some sort of cocktail bar, and like there's all sorts of things, and Albert is going looking for her. And
I really wish I had read this.
And
now
they basically stop right at the beginning. He just sits down at the bar and they're like, well, why aren't you involved in the robot revolution? And he's like, I don't care about that anyway. Which I thought was really fun. Just like, by the way, it says 2020 on it, but don't worry about it. It's just about a Wolverine story from the 80s.
It's just somebody who liked that was like here's my excuse to finally follow up on it. Nice. Yeah, I wish I had checked it out.
Absolutely has to be. And it was a fun story, and it was really like, it could have wrapped up as a one shot, but it does have like a continuation at the end. Totally into it. It is just a straight up fun. If you cared about that Albert story from the 80s, this is just more of that. So,
yeah. And I mean, a lot of people did because a lot of people were fans of Wolverine.
Yeah. I mean, classic Wolverine stuff that wrapped up in two issues. I love that. I love the A-team version of Wolverine. You know, shows up in a town. Yeah, the mayor's daughter's been kidnapped. They're trying to get the oil out of my backyard.
Here, Wolverine, drink this milk. Oh, no, it's been drugged. Now I gotta get on a plane.
Get on the plane. Yes. And one of the other big books of this week, Savage Dragon, is having its 250th issue. Spectacular. How is it possible that Savage Dragon made it to 250 issues? I have absolutely no idea.
Because it never rebooted. It's because it just kept going. He never rebooted it. Like, and it's good, like, for him in that
it
level.
Is so stream of consciousness too. It feels like he just sits down, and I think he has said this, so I don't think I'm even making this up. It feels like he just doesn't have I don't think he has a story. I think he writes it as he's going. And
what do I feel like drawing
right now? Which would explain all of the weird sex stuff that winds up in it. Which also, if you were a fan of Savage Dragon in the 90s, that's probably going to come as a huge surprise to you reading Savage Dragon after issue 150. How much crazy over-the-top sex stuff is in it.
Yeah. There were a lot of, because it's a 80-pager or whatever, it's some huge amount of pages on this. I flipped through it in the shop, and it has a lot of like guest artists and some really cool art. I always, you know, as much as like we shit on Rob Liefeld, I love Eric Larson's art. Like, I think he's a fantastic cartoonist, like all that hyper stylized, weird proportioned shit. Like, his Spider-Man run is, I like it better than McFarlane. Always have. Like, Eric Larson rules.
Oh, yeah.
As an artist, I'm a big fan of his.
His run on Spider-Man was very fun, and I love his take on Spider-Man. I'm shocked that issue that came out, I can't remember how long ago, maybe last year, he came back to do a single Spider-Man issue for that, like, getting classic teams back for, it kind of fizzled. It was like, I'm surprised that there weren't just like tons of people stoked about that, but...
I mean, it didn't get any kind of hype, you know. It's not that like it had like a house ad saying like he's back. They didn't really like celebrate it or anything.
It's
you know?
you would have thought that there would have been a house ad that was saying they're back. That was like, look, Peter David's doing the Hulk. Look, we've got Eric Larson doing Spider-Man and all these, whoever else they had. It seems like that would have been a good idea.
Yeah, Marvel's house ad style these days is just like the event gets like a center spread fold out thing. And there's really not a lot of like DC is much more creative with their advertising. As cool as that is, you know, I don't know, but, anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Vampirella number 11 is out. Let's see. Metal Men number 8 is out. Star Wars Adventures number 32. There is a new issue of Old Guard Force Multiplied out. And
that's a show now.
I just watched the movie. Well, part of it.
Oh, it's a movie.
I don't know if it's maybe it's the beginning of a series or something, but it looked like a movie to me. I watched the first
I saw a commercial for it.
Thought it was fun.
TV. Nice.
Yes. Daphne Byrne number 6 is out. Man, so pretty. The art in this is just, it's so nice to see this.
Kelly Jones.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is Dan McDade now.
Oh, Dan McDade. Yeah, he's great.
Who is like he's sort of the assistant artist. Kelly Jones is still doing art in it, but he's kind of I think it's like a flashback kind of situation. Maybe. I don't know that he's like doing.
Dan McDade is.
He's
awesome.
Great. He is great.
Yeah. I'm sitting here with
Kelly
Jones. There's a Dan McDade. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
Man. Good luck. Good luck getting anything as exciting as Kelly Jones now that, you know, we don't have Bernie Wrightson around. I mean, that's,
yeah,
it's
Kyle Potts is on that train.
I like that too, but especially for those of us who are on the horror-y gothy side, I mean, fucking Kelly Jones is where it's at. And also this week, just this is sort of an announcement and to talk about the comic. So Free Comic Book Day is obviously fucking canceled. No big shock there. And of course we did order Free Comic Book Day stuff. I have been able to cancel some of the titles that were like kind of the like, oh, I don't know why I would need, you know, 20 copies of whatever, some rando boom book. But I did keep a bunch of the core things. I did order a bunch of those. And so when you order your books, if you're interested in the new X-Men or there's a kid's book that's out this week as well that looked really fun, if you want one of those or both of them thrown into your order, just say so and I'll do it. On the website, they are listed as though they are money. I put them up for $3.99 to dissuade people from just being like, oh, cool, they're free. I'll order 50 of them, you know, or whatever, and like nothing else. So I wind up shipping stuff for like it cost me $30 to ship somebody something that they didn't pay anything for. So that's just a function of the website. And I'm sorry that it shows up as being not free, but it is free to you, and I will hook anybody up that wants them that is buying books. So all there's going to be a bunch of this. There's going to be the gold level DC book that's coming out and all of the other stuff. So the important to continuity of big superhero series like the Venom one and all that stuff, these will all be coming out and they will be available from us. So for free.
I'm going to interject one bit about this subject. So the X-Men book I grabbed when I was in the store, and there's an X-Men story that's like, obviously there's going to be some kind of crossover, something about swords.
Yes.
There's a second story that is not advertised in any way at all in this comic. It has nothing to do with the X-Men.
Okay.
It's not on the cover. It's not on the back cover. It doesn't have its own text page or anything. It is Iron Man, and it is crazy. And it looks like there's going to be a series called Dark Ages by Tom Taylor. And it looks really crazy. And I would definitely recommend checking this thing out, especially because it's free.
Oh, interesting.
But
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, check it out. There's like a crazy Iron Man Avengery kind of Tom Taylor craziness in the second half, and it's weird because it's like I guess it's just a preview for the series or something, but it's like, there's nothing in there that says that there's anything other than the X-Men comic in it.
Interesting. Okay.
But it's like, it's like half the book.
Huh.
Well, that's super cool. And that's going to be cool. Whatever Dark Ages is, I'm on board. It looks great. The art looks great. And Iron Man gets his leg blown off.
Whoa. Spoiler.
Yeah. Sorry, it is a spoiler, but it's an alternate. It's not like a continuity story. I think it's like.
Right. Yep.
Like its own continuity. But.
Oh, man. What is this book that I'm trying to find? Well.
It's graphic. Ooh. It's really graphic.
Can't find the thing I was looking for. Oh, well. Anyway, Conan, Battle for the Serpent Crown, number 3 is out. So this is going to be, I think, maybe one of the first Conan in Wakanda stories. That's a strange thing to say. But that is happening. Strike Force, number 8. Strike Force has made it to issue 8. This is one of those books that I really enjoyed, and I can't believe other people enjoyed. This is one of those books that was like, oh, it's written for you. You know, nobody else is going to want an Elsa Bloodstone Blade fucking like monster hunter storyline. Nobody gives a shit about that except for you. And we sell it pretty decently. I'm actually very happy with how many people are on board with this book. I love it. Nice. So this is the, this is going to be a Fae storyline. It's also, it's what's her name? Angela centric. Cause she's on the team too. It's like Angela and Elsa Bloodstone.
Angela from Who's the Boss?
Yes.
Angela.
Angela. Angela. Okay. Anyway.
I was trying to think of Angelas that are famous. That's the first one I came up with.
Not Lansbury, huh?
No, you knew you'd think that would have been one, but for some reason, Angela from Angela.
So also, speaking of books that have been delayed forever, Spider-Woman number 2 is coming out. That book took a while. I'm glad to see it. I loved the first issue, and I have not read this one, but I'm stoked. So cool.
I'm gonna throw a little bit of if you're listening to the podcast and you're just kind of like, these books aren't really my thing. There's some really good books coming up, and I'm actually kind of surprised we haven't gotten to a couple of them yet.
I am actually doing these by basically their comic scan numbers. So they're going
so
by
it's gonna head up.
Yes, they're going. They're starting gold from least. Purchased to most purchased.
Oh, interesting organizational tactic.
I don't know. Who knows? Family Tree number 7, Jeff Lemire. Ooh. Book that, nice. That I'm very much enjoying. Just continues. Moonshine number 19, Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen number 12.
Oh, there's one of mine. I'm so sad. This is the last issue. Very sad that it's not going to come out every month. It is fantastic. Most of the stuff ended, like, wrapped up with the last issue, although some of the overarching story stuff gets wrapped up in this one. I did read this already, and it's fantastic, and I miss it already, even though it's brand new today.
Yes.
Man, I want it to keep going forever.
Well, another one of the big, big, big crazy issues that's out today is Empire number 1, Empire with a Ooh. Y from Marvel. This is the big Kree Skrull super group fighting. Got the Avengers, got all the big known characters. It's a very Fantastic Four centric story, which is kind of cool. There was a Fantastic Four issue that tied into it last week that ruled. And that got me really excited about Empire. I was kind of like, who gives a shit? You know, more Marvel space crap with Skrulls. Don't care. And then that Fantastic Four was really good, and Empire number 1 is really good. I'm like pretty much on board at this point. So
yeah, I must have just like seen this variant cover and thought it was just a variant cover because it was a Fantastic Four.
There's yes.
regular comic that came out, and yep. I read through that.
And that is a tie-in to Empire. Yes.
Yeah. So I just didn't see that Empire Number One was out. I'm a big fan of like the classic Marvel space stuff. So if it's got Kree, Skrull, Kotati, Shi'ar, I'm going to go, you know, Rigelians. I'm all about those guys. I don't care about so much. Like, I mean, Annihilation was, I guess they don't really branch out too much, but it's like, I don't want new shit. I want like, I want Kree, Skrull. I want that.
I like Annihilus. I enjoy him.
Annihilus rules. You know, I used to think his name was Anhilius, and I said it that way for a really long time. As a young reader.
As a youth.
Analus. Anala.
Angela Merkel. Once in Future number 9 is out.
Yes. That is Dan Mora and Kieran Gillen, and that comic is great, and I'm excited it's new and out. Yay.
Yeah. Yep.
Ooh, Tamara Bonvillain on the colors. She
always
is
always killing it.
Kills it. Fucking great looking book.
So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 106 is out. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 51 is out. And another big looked forward to book that was like supposed to come out 4 months ago. Giant sized X-Men Magneto number 1.
Awesome. Is it Neato?
It is awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly what you want. It's Hickman and Perez doing the giant Magneto book. I mean, what the hell more do you want?
Nice. Like,
it's going to be fucking amazing. And it is. It's really awesome. Loved it. Guardians of the Galaxy, number 4 is out. This series continues to be awesome. Really dig this.
Nice.
And I don't
know. They still have the huge cast of all the extra guys in it, like that they had it there. Is it like a different team or something? Or is it like, I didn't read it.
Well, it was the beginning of this storyline was that whole Return of Hercules kind of thing, where it was like the Greek gods all had come back and they decided that everybody needed to die. They needed to prove that they were awesome. So they were just going to kill everybody that they came in contact with until people worshiped them again. And that was the beginning of this whole thing. But now they've got, this is basically like a separate, I think this is, that arc has ended and this is a whole new thing. Because this is a, you know, another very subtle Marvel environmental kind of like awesome thing that for some reason there's some eco-terrorists and a vital pipline and who knows, maybe it's torn from today's headlines as an old Marvel House ad might say. So yes, pretty cool. Captain Marvel 17 is out.
Nice.
That's, you know, people are reading it. For some reason Wolverine is in it.
Does Kelly Thompson write that?
She did. I don't know if
she
still
did.
Is.
I don't know if she still does.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Nice. Yeah. She's great.
Yeah. She is. I just, this, for some reason, this Captain Marvel series has not grabbed me at all.
I'm not a huge fan of Captain Marvel. Yeah, I like the Monica, the Spectrum.
Yeah,
Captain
the Monica
Marvel.
Rambeau one was more of my thing. And also, I liked it when it got silly. The who was writing it then? Was that like it was centered around the Flurkin and the cat and all that stuff?
Nice. Yeah, I loved that.
I loved that arc. I really enjoyed that. But yeah, this one just isn't my thing. Catwoman number 23 is out, and that is
this was fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Sean Murphy is writing it, and he's you know what, Sean Murphy, he wrote the outline, and Blake Northcutt, is that how you say her last name?
It is Northcott. However you say it, Blake, sure. Northcutt.
Yes, she wrote the actual comic, and Sean basically was like, here's what's going to happen, and there's a return of a classic DC character.
Yeah, I mean, she's back in the, also like, this is fun in that it doesn't feel super connected to like all of the more recent.
Oh yeah, it's really like, it's like a two issue arc. It's like,
is it? Yeah. So they're not gonna, it's just, it's gonna, she's like in the animated adventures costume and she's having a like a jungle adventure with Snow Flame. Snowflame is back.
Yep, finally.
Yeah, that's the cocaine-fueled new Guardian from the 80s that was like appeared once, and then they were like, this is such a horrific fucking idea for a character. We can't ever put this guy in a comic. And then apparently he's back. I just thought it was fun. I like it. Just doesn't feel continuity heavy. It just feels like a Catwoman adventure where she's doing Catwoman kind of stuff. And it was, I thought it looked fun. I took a tumble on it.
Cool. Strange Adventures number 3 is out.
Ooh,
that's a great one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much to talk about with it. It's just the ongoing story.
Yeah.
Dark Knight's Death Metal number 2 is out. There's a big one.
It was fun.
Holy crap. I mean, you got two right off the top. You've got two new characters showing up in this one.
which characters?
You have King Robin and
King Robin, yeah.
And you have the Darkest Knight, both
yes,
being introduced in this. Although both of them are existing characters.
Yeah.
This is their first naming of said characters.
I thought you were talking about the Batum.
Oh, man, I wish. I think that might be.
Yeah.
Is it also the first introduction of the Batman who is also a car?
I think it is.
I had not.
God. Swamp Thing with goggles. There are so many great little artistic tweaks in this that I love. And I love like how completely unconnected to any kind of like, it has like, it references like all the Snyder continuity to some extent, but it's just like, it's, I think Death Metal is much more fun to read than actual first metal.
Yep. Totally agree. Just,
for whatever they're doing this time, I dig it.
He was almost afraid to use the goofier ideas in the first.
Yeah.
He had like a couple of really ridiculously goofy ideas, specifically the dark side in the baby Bjorn. That was, I mean, come on, that was beautiful. And, you know, but most of them were more like, it was horrible, and we strapped the Flash to the Batmobile until he exploded and I became the Flash. And, you know, like there were all these like kind of 90s, like dark ideas. And this one is more like, fuck it. This is going to be crazy. We're just going to do crazy shit. And I love it.
Yeah. And I got to say, you mentioned that Darkest Night, and I don't want to talk too much about it, but like that is a good character. And you know how I feel about the things that connect to that character.
Yes. Yep.
And the listeners also will, and after they read it, if they read it, and then in the future when it's okay to spoil it, I will talk about my feelings as much as there are in any kind of importance on how I think that what they do in this issue is a very good idea.
Absolutely.
It's fun.
And we have Fantastic Four number 21 out this week. Another great Fantastic Four issue.
Yeah, Wolverine, and this is in Spider-Man.
And it is a big tie-in to Empire. So yes, it's the new Fantastic Four a little bit. We've got Wolverine and Spider-Man. I have a sneaking suspicion that this was a corporate decision in order to get another skin for Spider-Man for the upcoming Spider-Man game for PS5. But you know what? I'm just gonna
I really like the modern
I always love that.
Yeah, I love the modern Spider-Man Fantastic Four costume they came up with where he's got the blue suit. I think that's a cool little variant.
I think one of my favorite Spider-Man suits ever was the FF suit. Was the Future Foundation suit, the white and black one.
Loved the white and black one, yeah. That one was cool.
Awesome.
There was one that had neon green, like it was like a stealth suit or something like that.
The big time suit. One. Yeah. I like
but
that one.
That was... Yeah. Yeah. My favorite is just the Fantastic Four costume with no boots and the paper bag.
Obviously, Bombastic Bagman is the best character ever. So Chad basically gave me his PS4 for a song so that I could play Spider-Man, and it's the only game I've played on PS4. and I have played the entire game so far as Bombastic Bagman. Like, nice. I can't stop.
He's going to be in Spider-Verse 2. Did you watch the Trailer-Verse for Spider-Man?
No.
Spider-Verse. It's like a just like a VCR image of like static, and it flashes all the different Spider-Man that are going to be in it, and one of them is the Bagman. I'm very excited.
Was Hobie in it?
Wait, Hobie? Yes, he was.
Spider-Punk? Are we gonna see the Spider-Punk universe?
Let's hope so. I would imagine. Yeah, I got that. Spider-Verse is still my favorite comic book film ever. Man.
It's so good. But I mean,
I love it.
That story. I mean, again, this is probably another one of those it's a me thing. But holy shit. Fuck, man, that story killed me. Like, everything about it was like, I mean, just the fact that it was the 138 universe, so you got the Misfits line, all of the cops are Venoms, and he has to fight them with the amplifiers. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah,
it's
so
like
good.
Rick Remender probably looked at that and he was like, fuck. Why wasn't that my story?
Yeah.
But, man, awesome.
It's really good. I'm actually looking at a Spider-Punk. The only Marvel Funko Pop I own is Spider-Punk. And it is right next to me right now.
It's good. So cool. Yeah.
Spider-Verse awesome. Is going to rule. I love it. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Oh, yes.
Comics?
We were on Aquaman, number 61. So,
does he marry a woman without gills?
Actually, it's very strange that you bring that up.
Actually,
why, indeed, this is the wedding issue.
You'd almost think I planned that.
Yes. So they're from two different worlds. Anyway.
And he has wasted his life.
And yes, I have wasted my life. That is 100% true. All these things. The Simpsons predicted me wasting my life, too. God damn it. They've been right about everything. Avengers, number 34. The Age of Khonshu continues. This is the big, crazy Moon Knight. I don't know if I can spoil that first issue. You've all read it, because it was great. But it involves basically Moon Knight kicking the ass of literally every Avenger in sequence until he gets to Black Panther. And then Black Panther basically goes, shit, man, you're going to kick my ass. I don't feel like this is worth fighting about. So what do you need to do? And he just kind of goes, well, I need whatever this is. It's like, okay, cool. And then he shows up on the fucking moon and is like, well, now that I'm on the moon, I'm invincible. So holy shit, what a crazy issue. So playing with some craziness in the Moon Knight universe, all weird things that I've never seen done before. I love the idea of all of it's every permutation. It's his crazy bone version. Like every version of Moon Knight is on the moon with him. So
is the Stephen Platt version also on the moon?
I think all of them are.
Nice.
But it's cool. I mean, and then, you know, it's Moon Knight, so I'm hoping that the end of this arc is not he's like sitting in a pile of garbage playing with action figures, because that has gotten old. I liked it once. It's fun. But I think we need to move beyond the, oh no, he was crazy the whole time and nothing actually happened. I really hope that's not the end of this.
No, that's a cop out.
Exactly. It was all a dream kind of ending, which is no fun. But you know what is really fun? I will tell you, Immortal Hulk number 35 is really fun. Holy crap, what a fun book. This is
speaking of people playing with toys.
Yeah.
The cover has like exactly that.
And that's the other thing, is that this is the 70s Hulk. This is the Hulk just wants to be left alone Hulk. This is the Hostess Fruit Pie ad Hulk. In this issue, which is really great, and it makes me really happy. And he's going out doing like public appearances. He's like building a house and making jokes, and it's awesome. And then something terrible happens because it's fucking Immortal Hulk. But just seeing that version of the Hulk in this as well was really cool, because they've literally gone through almost everything at this point. So the kind of like Herb Trimpy Hulk was awesome to see. And yes, that's all I'll say about it, is that if you're not reading Immortal Hulk, you're missing out on one of the most enjoyable comics out there today. Justice League number 49. Super into this new version of Justice League.
I think this is a good
direction they're going in.
You alerted me to this and the audience as well with the last issue. I'm going to follow it up with a little recommendation of my own and say, if you were a fan of the Justice League cartoon, this take is absolutely like that version of the Justice League. Like the Flash is in it, but it's like you don't really know necessarily that it's not Wally West. Like, you know, like he's like, I don't know. It's great. It's like interplanetary kind of, you know, like what is the role of the Justice League? This is Cy Spurrier. It's just a really good take.
Yeah.
And also Wonder Woman's space helmet is badass. I will just say that as well. That is a badass space helmet.
All right. Nightwing number 72 is out. This is going to be, I feel like what we have here is basically we're trying to fix his identity still. We got to get back to, oh my God, it has been going on for way too long. But this is obviously a filler issue before the Joker War stuff, because Nightwing needs to run into Punchline. And I think we're going to see a lot of these, like, just every issue of every book that ties into Joker War, so that they're not wasting valuable face kicking time by saying, who is that? Oh, why that's the Joker's new sidekick. Her name is Punchline. You can buy her action figures at your local comic shop, you know, whatever.
Yeah, pretty much
buy all our play sets and toys. So there's that. And so the biggest book of the week, I think, as far as like people hounding me and harassing me to, I actually had to put a disclaimer on the website because I've gotten so many people who wanted to buy like 5 or 10 copies because it's obviously going to be worth money. That would be Venom number 26.
Really?
The first appearance of a pretty cool looking villain. I don't know what this is. I haven't read the issue. I just basically have been speculating from looking at it in the time frame, but it looks like it's a symbiote that is cobbled together from the exploded remains of the Punisher's old War Machine suit. Which would be cool. And if it's not that, then my version is slightly better than yours. Sorry. but
it,
I think
it does look like that.
But I think it's like the Maker or one of those characters has, is building symbiotes out of garbage. And this is the first garbage symbiote whose name is Virus. He does, like, the design is awesome. Like, when I look at the design, I'm like, shit.
Yeah, that is good design.
I can see why people were like, oh, fuck, you know, we need to get on this. This is going to be a big issue. And I get it. And I will explain the thing about the website. I know it sounds like I'm being an asshole, but I literally put a thing on it that said, you can only order one and it's for subscribers. You know, none of this. I'm only buying this issue and like nothing else. It's not for scalpers. I want people who've been reading the fucking book to get the book. I know it's the real drawback of doing this the way that I do, where I put everything on the website. It means that if there's a super crazy hot book, I have to either take it off the website entirely and just be like, just ask me for it and we'll add it to your order or whatever, you know, so that I don't have somebody just come in and go, I'll take 35 copies, please, you know, and I'll send them to CGC. It's like, that's not cool, man. I'm trying to get these to the people who are reading them. So that's the reason. And I know it sounds dickish, but I'm hoping that the people who want the book and who are reading the book understand that it's for you guys.
I don't think it sounds dickish at all. I think
scalpers
don't
take the, it's a difficult, because of the website and the way that we're doing things, it's just very difficult to, you know, to not do it this way. So whatever. Anyway, and surprisingly, the biggest scan book of the week is Amazing Spider-Man number 44. What a crazy thing. Why is Spider-Man 44 charting so high? I don't know.
I don't. Maybe it's because there hasn't been a Spider-Man book in a really long time. It could be.
I will say.
Is it a new creative team? It looked different to me.
It's Nick Spencer.
Okay. So same one.
And the penciler is Kim Jacinto. I don't know him.
Sebastian Chang
is the colorist. Yeah, I don't know.
It had Sin Eater in it.
Thing is, it does have Sin Eater, and also I think this is going to be the origin story for Kindred, I believe. So, and Kindred has been this character that has been like basically showing up in the background of every Spider-Man issue somewhere for the last 2 years.
Oh.
They're like, oh, look, there's a weird little gross millipede somewhere, and some guy in the corner going, and you're like, oh, who's that guy? And they're finally actually explaining him. So, I like him as a character. I find him compelling. I think the design is cool. I'm excited to see what it's all about. So I'm into
it. That's pretty much how they introduced Green Goblin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like way back in the day. Like, he kind of was like behind the scenes, and then you didn't know who he was and all that stuff. That's kind of like your classic Spider-Man villain build up.
So I'm excited. Nice. He's got lots of gross millipedes. I mean, what a great superpower to have. Disgusting millipedes.
He's like the Swarm, but for millipedes.
Oh, my God. You know, if you want to treat yourself to something wonderful, watch all of the talk show appearances promoting Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. Wow. Specifically the one where they basically introduce all of the characters.
Oh my God.
The number of like out loud laughs that I got from watching this like over the top Broadway actor introducing ridiculous Spider-Man characters. Entirely of bees.
Wait, is it like, what shows was it on?
Oh my God. I think Letterman was the really.
Okay. So like late night. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Okay.
I think they did.
Challenge accepted.
I think they did multiple Letterman appearances. I think like once they retooled it, they came back.
Letterman was like, this shit is gold. You can come back anytime you want.
This is hilarious. We've got 400,000 YouTube hits just from this one. I mean, it is fucking hilarious. I don't know how that thing ever got made. But yes, but I'm still down. If there are any theater actors out there who want to take me up on this, I've been thinking about doing a performance of Turn Off the Dark in the Park, and we just sort of show up in costume and do it. No script, just kind of improv.
Turn Off the Dark flash mob.
Oh God, the worst.
I'd want to be a fly on the wall for that.
I would be willing to get arrested for that. All right. So that is that for this week. That's the stuff we got.
Any big trades or anything? Or
there wasn't anything terribly exciting in the realm of trades this week. We got some NECA stuff in. We got a really nice Iron Maiden figure that's up on the website now. There was some other fun stuff that came in and I can't think of it. Oh boy. We got some of our CGC stuff back. So we have some cool CGC things up on the website. The most exciting of which, shocking to me, is the first, Miguel O'Hara, which, you know, every quarter bin in the country had for years and is now a $300 book. So, you know,
nice.
There you go. But yeah, we got a bunch of fun stuff up on there, and some lesser books and some bigger books. And yeah, we're doing a lot more of that now because, you know, we need money. So we're rummaging through the basement to find shit to send to CGC. So there's going to be a bunch of graded books up there. I'm not normally a huge fan of the whole process, just in general, but... you know, desperate times, as they say. And so we're doing that.
Getting better at this capitalism thing.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. So those are the things.
Any store news that you want to share?
Well, yeah, I guess there is store news. The store news is mostly like sad store news, because it's like we basically announced, okay, we're going to open tomorrow. So Wednesday was supposed to be our day. I can't open on Wednesday. I mean, everybody's welcome, all our subscribers and everything. You're welcome to knock and you can come in. We can do this like a regular exchange. If you want to buy your extra books off the wall or whatever, you can. I can't have people browsing. The place is like, it's so far from complete. It's so difficult. I've been spending so much time basically just trying not to go under that, like, the amount of time that I've put into reassembling the store has really suffered. And it, basically, I had a job that was going to take a month with three people. I did it in 3 months as one person, but the last leg of this is really, unfortunately, yeah, taking longer than I thought, because everything's out of alphabetical order. Everything's on the floor. Like, there's just shit everywhere. And so it's not, it just isn't safe for people to come in. Like, I just can't have people fucking around in there, because it is basically like a construction site, minus, you know, except that everything that's construction is just shit. It's just books, you know. There's long boxes piled everywhere. So, not really a browsing situation. I apologize to everybody. We will get on that, and, you know, you can come in and see why we're up against the situation we're up against, if that makes you feel any better. Yeah, that's my deal. So that is the store news. I really appreciate that everybody has moved to the web model pretty flawlessly so far, knock on wood. I've definitely seen a lot of people who have figured it out, and it doesn't seem to be causing any problems, and I'm really happy about that. And I thank everybody, because definitely, you know, it's an unbelievably hard time probably for everyone at this point, but we were definitely in the, things were looking bleak for a minute there. So I appreciate everybody continuing to support us, and, it is obviously very appreciated, and yeah, and there's that. So that's the story. Anything else? I don't think so.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing.
Okay, then I guess that is going to be all. And we will talk to you next week. And yeah, and like I said, if you do want to stop by and say hi, I am in the store. You are welcome to do so. But again, the amount of browsing is going to be ridiculously limited, unfortunately. So that's going to be the deal.
You'll understand why if you haven't been in. But
yeah. The second you set foot in there, you'll go, oh, goodness.
Right on.
Well, and also, you know, there has been a strange delay. The other thing is that I was supposed to get a bunch of grid rack in, I think, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and it has not shown up yet. It is taking forever. So, I don't know, probably got shipped to Portland, Oregon or something. Who knows? This has happened before that somebody got my stuff in Portland, Oregon. So, yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know. The worst part was that it was a courier. It was a guy who literally was driving with this printer that I had, an oversized printer for my screen printing studio. And I was like, guys, you said it was going to be here. And they were like, yeah, he's coming back from Oregon. He went the wrong way, basically. It was like, he just,
Jesus,
you know, the other side of the country.
Oh, man. They took a bath on that delivery.
Yeah. Yikes. Terrifying. Anyway, yeah, that does suck. But so, yeah, that's all there is to it. We will get to it. It will be available. And, you know, obviously come in with a mask, please. It is required by the state. I will arrest you on site. And, you know, I don't know.
You're a deputized Gotham City police officer.
I don't know. I'm deputized enough to hit you over the head with something if you don't put a fucking mask on.
I mean, the door's locked. If someone doesn't have a mask, you're just not getting in. That's fair. It's a pretty... pretty good system. Yeah. Hey, I just read that the first trial of the COVID vaccine is promising. So maybe we got some vaccine news on the horizon.
God, that would be amazing. Please.
It'll come. Yeah, I hope it's soon.
Yeah.
Oof. But wear a mask.
Yeah,
in the meantime,
wear a mask. We don't want to be Florida.
Wear a mask. Nope.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys
so much.
For
so many reasons.
Yeah, well, for so many reasons. Awesome. Thank you guys so much, okay. And we will see you next week.
Bye. Sorry. Bye. Cigarette!